Welcome to Sofa King Podcast, a regular podcast of popular culture, current events, and shit we find interesting. This week we talk about music with a special guest, Ray Vargas, from the band Rhythm Ambassadors. We rap about how people should start as musicians, televised musical contests, and even the video game Rock Band. So this week, instead of Brad, we ask the Rhythm Ambassadors to drop that funky intro.
California, how are you? Well, I want to thank everybody for coming and supporting. That's really cool. Thank you very much. This first one is a song that me and Joe wrote called Supernova. Here we go.
Up, but I have three good copies of Zelda.
What about gold dildos?
No gold dildos. Unless I spray paint them. No. I can spray paint one of mine.
Gold dildos? You can repurpose one of your dildos?
Yeah.
We're recording with my headphones on my head, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. I was sitting like 4 feet back.
Dave knew. He put his on. He's like, yeah, we're going to get gold dildos out of Brent. And then they're going to go in his mouth. Yeah, you got to keep that mic in your mouth, Ray.
Oh.
Yep.
Choke.
That's exactly how he likes it.
The pleasure sound.
Yep.
That mic sounds fine.
Hold on a second. What the fuck is wrong with this shit?
I sound like I'm in the Fallout Boy.
The what?
No.
What's that crazy game you bought, Dave, with a wrist thing? Pet Boy.
Pip.
Pip Boy.
Oh, from Fallout Boy? I mean, from Fallout
4.
I got the Pip Boy edition,
yeah.
You motherfucker. You motherfucker. I thought I was cool because I got that. I like to fuck around on the zombies on Call of Duty. I got the one that came with the fridge.
Oh, nice. I saw that. That's badass.
That's like the only reason why I watched that badass.
His shit's going to be echoey as fuck.
Yeah. I think I can fix it.
It's cool.
You just got to, you just have to stay just like you are right there. It's almost like you're doing a concert.
Okay.
Like, just keep it right there. Because as soon as you back off, you'll hear it. Like, these ones pick up so we can talk this. And yeah.
Do you have that noisy radio thing?
It's on.
Oh, okay.
That's what, it's not picking it up. It's just that mic only picks up like direct fucking into the mic. So
what was that nerd thing you said you were going to talk about?
Oh, we're not doing that tonight. Okay. We're just going to do
music.
We're just going to do kind of about music, local scene.
All right.
Talk to you about your band.
Cool.
All that shit. So, basically, well, we've already started. So,
all right.
So we're here with Ray Vargas,
hey.
And you are one of the eight members, correct?
Yeah,
one of the Rhythm Ambassadors.
Yeah.
So, and you guys are a traditional ska.
Yeah, we're a traditional ska band. We try to be like traditional Jamaican music, rock steady, ska. Early reggae.
So that was because I was on your guys' website listening to some of the tracks, and they're fucking dope.
Thanks, man.
But because I even saw that up front, and it said like ska and all the different, like what's the, like I have no idea. I always hear that there's ska and that there's reggae, and right. then I saw rock steady. Like what's the difference between those?
Well, you know, it's all just in feel. So like the original ska is like counted a little weird. Instead of being like 1, 2, 3, 4, it's like 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 1. You know, that kind of feel a little bouncy. And the rock steady is more of like, I'm sure you guys have heard like, I'm still in love with you. You know, that kind of.
Mm-hmm. More R&B-ish.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, because that's what they were doing. They were taking American music like Motown and soul and just, they were hearing this stuff and just, you know, combining it with Calypso and Mento and Boor and all these crazy Jamaican rhythms. And just, that's how you get a lot. I mean, in fact, a lot of the songs are, like there's a song called Occupation from Scatolites, which is a bitch song, but it's basically just Ring of Fire.
It's a big song or a bitch song?
It's both. But like the horns is just like that, which is, come on, it's like Ring of Fire. Or there's another one that's just like a Beatles song. You know, so it's basically like what they do is they hear this stuff and they interpret it. Yeah, they mixed it.
Have you heard the Supertones?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like, so I was in a ska band in like 1996.
What? Hold on a minute.
Wait, hold on a minute.
It was actually like the first band I was in out of high school, and I sucked at guitar. I still suck, but I had a difficult time with it.
I'm picturing you dressed like Gwen Stefani.
No, there was no dress. It was actually cool. We practiced in an airplane hangar at Meadows Field. And it was, we were still so loud, we got called by like the Skyway Inn, we got kicked out. But we had two guitars, a bass, and alto sax, baritone sax, and trombone.
Cool.
But that is a thing in ska where they reuse people's riffs. You know, Supertones do a bunch acceptable. Of stuff like that.
Yes.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, I guess if you listen to reggae, like it's kind of all the same rhythms. And I mean, there's some different stuff, but it's been used over and over again. Like, and I'm like, damn, that's that same song over again.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Like right. they did something else over it. And like they have some other riff or the drums are a little different.
I had a hell of a time with it. I still really, that upstroke that I just could never get used to that. Bum, yeah.
Bum. Yeah. It's, you know, interpretation is a big part of the music, you know? So people take little bits and pieces of what they like from other genres and they just staple them together. And that's cool because, you know, like most of the songs that I enjoy are just like interpretations, you know what I mean? I like that. I like, you know, because a lot of people, what they do is they'll straight up jack somebody's whole sound.
Right.
Like I'm sure you've done that where you've heard like we were just talking about Action Bronson and...
Oh, Ghostface Killer.
Like, I'm sure that Action Bronson didn't just sit around and said, I'm going to be Ghostface Killer. I'm going to sound like Ghostface Killer. And he's
going to
Vanilla
Ice. Ice Ice Baby.
Well, I don't know. But
that's,
like,
that's a beat. Somebody put it together because it's catchy. That's what people do, though. They take something that's catchy and then they recycle it and it's catchy again because it's already catchy. They don't have to think of a new, you know, way to get people to pay attention to the song. They're going to be like, they're not going to know what it is that sounds good or that they like.
They just know that's
what it is.
And I always kind of trip on that. I mean, I think maybe it's because I grew up in the 80s and hip hop was big and everybody was just sampling older songs and putting a new beat to it.
Right.
But it was, I mean, it's a legitimate sound and a legitimate art form. But then I also, like, recently I've been listening to a lot of old blues, like some Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf, and because I love that stuff. But ultimately, 80% of the songs are the same exact song.
Are you sure you're not listening to Tyga?
No, yeah, I'm not.
Tyga and Drake.
But it's like, but the blues are the same song, and no one ever trips on it. It's like, we're all just playing the same fucking song. I just wrote some different lyrics, and it's the same song.
And even hip hop's starting to do that a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I listen to SiriusXM, and they're remixing songs using the same beat that somebody same else flows. Did. But because they like the beat, they're using it again. It's already catchy. It's already popular. So the song makes it big.
I'm so impressed. I mean, there's only so many chords, you know, there's only so many notes on a guitar. It's crazy to me that people keep innovating and come up with anything different in the first place. I mean, there's been so many bands in so many years and so many genres of music. Yeah. It's impressive to me. Like, you know, as a guitar player, you know, like, oh, these four chords, watch me play 10 songs, you know, that you know with these four chords.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of repeat like that. They have to start stealing, I guess.
There has to be some sort of crossover, but People get so angry. Yeah. You know, you stole my riff that I stole from somebody else and didn't even know it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right. When I was younger, I used to worry a lot about that. You know, I used to be like, oh, this sounds too much like this.
Totally.
That sounds too much like that. But the thing is, man, you know, like some of my favorite bands, not even, you know, ska bands. We're just talking about bands in general.
Yeah, Pearl Jam.
Yeah, Pearl Jam.
Hey.
Just some of my favorite bands, yeah. Mumford & Sons.
There's nothing wrong with Pearl Jam.
Kings of Leon, that's his favorite band.
Oh, yeah, I love Kings
Go
of Leon.
Go see their show, they sound
especially
just like
that
Kings
song that goes...
that's their whole catalog.
Yeah, it's just mumbles
we
and
just
groans.
We just lost a fan right now. Somebody like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Avid King of Fleet.
Somebody's sex was on fire.
Yeah.
Just put it out.
Yeah, but, you know, like, especially in ska, they're really open to it. You know, bands do tributes all the time. Like, they'll say, oh, we're doing a tribute to Don Drummond, who is a famous a trombone player for the Skylight. So they'll play a bunch of his
Drummond,
songs.
Mr. Drummond, we've all heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What you talking about, Brad?
Yeah.
Not that Don Drummond. Although this Don Drummond was a weird dude, too. I mean, he had a pica, so he would have, like, eat dirt.
What?
A pica?
What? Look it up. Pica, man.
Explain. You're here. Go for it.
What is that? You got to look it up. We have you.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but let me play one for a second.
Okay.
Basically, pica is, I think, is some sort of disease, but...
Hold on, I don't want to go to this doctor anymore.
No.
I think it's some sort of disease.
Pretend to know more, yeah.
You know.
Just make something up.
Pretend to be confident.
Let me speculate with your life real quick. Yeah. Pica.
Is it a bump? Is it some kind of nodule that you get that you have to poke?
I personally thought it was like some surfer, you know, like a dude named Pica.
Right.
Like some like Nordic
dude. So you have a Siamese Ventura? Twin pica surfer that's attached to you and you have to get rid of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It makes you eat dirt? Yeah. It's a fucked up disorder.
Have
you ever heard of this, Dave?
It gives you like a weird craving.
You know, Dave's a professor.
Oh,
I think
okay.
He's calling bullshit on you right now.
So you just crave dirt.
Yeah.
Because that happens. Okay, weird story. My grandma.
That's what Joe Q said. Joe Q, you better not be lying.
My grandmother, when she was pregnant with my mom, used to garden a lot. And she had an irresistible craving for soil. And so she went ahead and did it. Like she was AKA. Craving it. She didn't know why. She ate dirt, put a handful of potting soil in her mouth, and immediately spit it out. But there's some weird thing where pregnant women crave stuff like that, and soil is one of them. It's probably
it's
a mineral deficiency.
It's a mineral deficiency, yeah. That's what they blame it on.
I'm still confused about pica. I'll go ahead and look
some
it
people
up.
Have
I just like dirt. It's delicious. It's full of something.
You know one thing I did learn? You know one thing I did learn is we need to get a larger pair of headphones because your fucking head is gigantic.
You're about to lose them. They're about like a headband right now.
These are
large headphones too.
Yeah,
these are but a fleeting image. They're
that's
just
right.
Gonna
let
snap
me ask.
Off.
I want to ask a question of all three of you guys because I think I'm the least musical person in the basement right now, and I'm curious, like where because I know all three of you guys do music. Like, at what started you guys? Like, at what point? Like, have you always done music? Did you start later in life? What interest? Like, what pulled you towards, because I've been interested several times in piano and different things, but I've never got the drive to make that a part of my life. And I'm curious what started you guys.
You mean you wanted to be a pianist?
I wanted to be a master pianist.
Oh, damn. I never wanted to be a pianist.
I don't know if I'm a master, but I'm pretty skilled at the penis.
I can play all kinds of notes.
Yeah. Well, for me, I just remember like, when I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of movies. I'm mm-hmm. sure everybody's watched La Bamba, that kind
right.
of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I
not
used to
my
be,
Richie.
I'm like, nah, Richie. Anyways, but like, I used to always like just think it was badass how he used to carry around his guitar everywhere. I thought that was such a not inappropriate, but such a inconvenient thing to do. Like, just bring a guitar with you everywhere just to be cool. But I remember. There was just a guitar class at Arvin, and I just took it, and I was the only one who really practiced. There was some who were just there to chill. And
did your dad or anyone in your family play guitar?
No, but my dad did have a really nice guitar that he let me and my brother fuck up when we were younger. And I grew up, and I'm all, wait, is that a Guild? What? Where is it?
You
He's
broke,
like, you guys
yeah.
broke it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. My son knocked my guitar down the other day. It's the whole wall slide where you hear like... across the wall, and then you hear bong at the end. And I was like, damn, I can't even get mad. Like, I knocked my dad's guitar down like 30 times. Man. So that'd be my answer. My dad played guitar when I grew up around it. So, yeah.
Mine is, I think I'm black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One arm.
So I'm just, it was
one
just
arm
born,
is black.
It was just,
Brad is the blackest white guy I know.
Yeah,
he really
it was
is.
Just born into me.
He's got some. He's got some awesome gangster raps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those of you listening to this think I'm joking, right. But he's got some fucking awesome gangster raps.
He does actually.
Yeah.
What was the last one? Suicide Kings. Then what? You followed it up with something, but I don't know.
Oh no, there was other stuff. Well, I've been in Bradley. Bands and, yeah, Bradley Bang.
Bradley Bang.
Yeah. That's actually how I met Brad, is through a band thing. Yeah. Well, not through our, that's not how I met.
No,
him,
we were at work.
Yeah, and then
we were practicing to be pianists.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you guys crossed the street.
We were in our master class, our pianist.
Yeah,
that's how I met Brad too. Actually, class. I just thought about that. That is how I met. Yeah,
so, yeah. Me and Brent. Do you know about the studio?
No.
So Brent had a. You tell him, Brent, because you get angry about it. We almost fought.
I got into recording music, I think probably because I never excelled at being in a band. It just never happened. But my buddy Steve, who was on the podcast about aliens, said, hey, my buddy Brad, he raps. And he's into recording and stuff too, because I got into recording. And I was like, he raps? This white dude raps? I don't know. Like, I didn't know what to think. I was judging him hard. But I showed up and like went to some of your friend had a party or something. We showed up and then, like, I don't know, we sit in the car and he just showed me a shit ton of stuff of his rap on his car stereo, and then that was it. I stole him from Steve, and then we became friends. Didn't hang out with Steve really that much anymore, and then me and Brad built a complete recording studio in a
Steve.
Super beat Oildale house.
We had to take a 2x4 and jack up the ceiling because it was caving in.
Nice.
And reinforce it with a wall that we put in. Like, this is legit, though.
And then, like, water would just pour through, so we hot-mopped the roof.
Yeah. And it was legit. Like, we had studio foam, sound. We had a steel door that was wide enough for people to bring a drum kit in.
Dual
pane
glass.
Mannequin heads on the walls that would hang the headphones. All the XLRs were through the walls. You plug them in. Like, yeah, dual pane glass.
Yeah.
We had a mixing board table.
Was that the studio you had over here?
No.
It was an Oildale.
No.
Dude, it was crazy because it just looked like a little separate Oildale garage. And then you walked in there. There was, like, track lighting, these little globes and shit.
Yeah,
like,
it was legit.
Air conditioning. Like, and then here's the part that sucks. Yep. We get that shit done. We got these desks from Office Depot that they like kicked outside, and we just put them in the truck and took them. But they were like badass recording studio desks. We had a Mac, we had Pro Tools, we had an interface, we had a PC with Adobe Audition, all this shit, all set up, ready to record. It took us like I don't know how long to build it. And
months.
As I was like dusting fucking drywall off my hands, I walked around to my front door, and the mailman had just dropped mail off. And then in the mailbox was a letter from my landlord that said, oh, we're selling the house. Like, if you're interested in buying it, let us know, or you've got a month to move. And I was like, fuck, I'm not buying this Oildale house. It was in the middle of a real estate boom, and like, this house should have been 50 grand, and they were asking 185 because it was that crazy real estate thing. And she came by. I was like, hey, we did some renovations in this garage. And the garage before was like 1940.
It was destroyed.
Roof, seriously, 2 feet lower in the center than it was on edges.
Yep.
Like, if anything, it was an improvement. Someone could live in there like it was a bedroom after we were done. And she fucking told us we had to tear it out.
So, yeah, so we proceeded to kick walls down
and tear it down. It was the worst. I literally quit doing stuff with music for like fucking 8 years or something.
Because it's depressing.
It broke
it was
me.
Depressing.
I fucking
it was
quit
bad.
Music for a long time after that.
I didn't, because I'm not a quitter. But, I just continued going on by myself. But no, I don't know. I just had a knack for recording, because I knew computers and I knew how to record, and nobody else did. So I literally, like, the hip-hop community, you know, I would do stuff and they're like, how did you know, I get these like straight up ghetto black dudes, like that live on Cottonwood, you know, and they're trying to put their album together, you know, and they're like,
right.
How'd you get the vocals to sound like that? You got all this stuff. And I'm like, nope, I got this and this. And they're like,
in a trailer.
Right? Yeah. Like,
he lived in his grandma's trailer. That's some fucking Eminem fucking story.
And I got kicked out of an apartment because we recorded an album in the apartment. And apparently we were yelling into the mics. We got kicked out of the apartment. And that was with my fiance. I was living with my fiance, who was my wife, who's now my ex. But so like
he was yelling into the wife. That's what
I think we were yelling like fucking die motherfucker die raps, you know, and anti-religion, you know. So it was like Bad Religion but hip hop. So. The neighbors didn't appreciate it, I don't think.
I can imagine.
But, so I've been in a multitude of bands and recording.
Although I said I'm I'm the least musically talented person in the basement, but I'm probably the most video game musically talented person in the basement.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Are you telling me you chiptune, bro? Yeah,
no, because we put
rock
like
band.
Chiptune.
You chiptune it right now?
Rock band.
Oh, rock band.
Rock band. My band,
you're for sure that.
My band that I was in I with my, sister, my wife, and my brother-in-law, we had a band that was
you had a rock band band?
We had a rock band
band. I didn't know this was
if you got matching jackets, I'm gonna lose my shit.
But on the global leaderboards, we were in the top 40 in the world, and there were multiple songs that we were number one
on. The global leaderboards? Mm-hmm. What the fuck is that?
I'm going to guess you were the bassist.
Everyone playing, I was the bassist.
Oh, shit.
I was the bassist. Everyone in the world playing rock band, our band called Big Ol' Mollusk, was in the top was in the top 40 in the world.
How much money did you make?
I think we got down to 30,000.
30-something. Up in the rankings. In the
30s. That's pretty good.
Holy as far as how much money we made, it was probably about negative $600.
And on that thought, there's a chick here in town, and I don't know her name. I know who she is, but she has multiple Guinness World Records for like
dancing. Yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, she
and not for dancing, for playing.
She played the dance game. She played the dance game for like 40 fucking something hours.
160 hours in a week.
Yeah, straight. No sleep. Like she's done it multiple times, and I know who she is. But yeah, you want to talk about video games and like and things you can do. No. Like she has multiple Guinness World Records. Like,
she was
legit.
She was at 140 hours, which was the Guinness record.
No, wait, that was from her.
There's only like 168 hours in a week.
Well, it's in. Then it must be more than a week. But it's not obviously it's just, nonstop because she has to take breaks to sleep.
I don't know, dude.
But it was something like I want to say it was a week. That's what the news report said. It was something fucking crazy.
Well, maybe it was a week with her sleeping. Yeah, with her taking time off or something like that.
So
consecutive, get up and go like. It's crazy. Yeah,
what is it? Seven times 20 is 140. 7 times 4 is 28.
Okay,
168. There's no way. That means she slept like 1 hour every day.
Maybe.
So, well, it said that she was like
sleeping. I wasn't told there was going to be math.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was told.
So the other reason I bring that up is because I know when Rock Band was really big, like their big claim to fame was like every week, every Tuesday, there would be a new set of songs that would release that you could download and play. And they had a lot of songs from like really fucking big artists. Yep. But at one point they were trying to get Prince to drop Purple Rain on it, and he said that he refused because he thought people should be spending that time learning real music and not playing a video game. Then everybody got really pissed off because a lot of people got into music because they played the video game, et cetera. But it started making me wonder. I mean, that's why I was wondering how you guys got started, because the whole video game thing. And it actually, I had a quote that I read. You guys might have run into it. It was on the social medias not too long ago from David Grohl. And it doesn't talk about video games, but it talks about some other stuff. And he said, when I think about kids watching a TV show like American Idol or The Voice, and they think, oh, okay, that's how you become a musician. You stand in line for 8 fucking hours with 800 people at a convention center, and you sing your heart out for someone, and they'll tell you it's not fucking good enough. And then he says, can you imagine? It's destroying the next generation of musicians. Musicians should go to a yard sale and buy an old fucking drum set and get in their garage and just suck and get their friends to come in and they'll suck too. And then they'll fucking start playing and they'll have the best time they've ever had in their lives. And then all of a sudden they'll become Nirvana, because that's exactly what happened with Nirvana. Just a bunch of guys and some shitty old instruments, and they got together and started playing some noisy ass shit and they became the biggest band in the world. That can happen again. You don't need a fucking computer or the internet or The Voice or American Idol.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I mean, I would
completely
just
agree,
because I think a lot of people think that's how you become a star, you get on these shows.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I mean, do you think that shows like that are helping music? Do you think they're hurting music? Like, what do you guys think?
I think if you don't come from a place where there is music around you, maybe,
mm-hmm.
or you're a person to take an easy out. Like, that would be an easy out. If I could go on American Idol and I said, I got this talent and I know I can go on there and I know they're going to fucking put me through.
Right.
Then I can do it. And I do a fucking season of that and I'm the champion and now I'm famous. But if you notice from all those things, only a very minute few of them actually become famous.
Right. And a lot of times, the ones who become famous didn't win the competition.
They dropped out
as like the eighth runner-up, and then they're the ones who hit. You know?
I've heard some weird shit, but I'm a conspiracy theorist, so that they know, like there's some candidates basically that they're like, oh, let's throw them through this. They know five of those guys or girls kind of set up. Mm-hmm. Put them in line, make them fucking stand in line. They got to go through the whole group
thing. And what that is exposure. It's easy exposure. And that's where marketing and the machine comes in. You know, people talk about, you know, the music machine and the industry. Like, that's what it is. You have bands like Rhythm Ambassadors who are these guys. And I was going to ask you, because I've been in bands and even just having a group like two dudes, it's hard. Us as a podcast, like getting everybody.
So many jokes.
Getting everybody.
It's hard when two dudes get together.
Yeah, it's hard when two dudes get together. I mean, think about how hard it is when four dudes get together.
Yeah. I'm hard right now.
Yeah.
There's enough holes if you line up right.
Yeah. We can be a human centipede.
It's kind of like a swastika.
So
as long as I'm
naked swastika,
it doesn't matter. You still get the end. Oh. It's all circular. But no, you know, even getting us together as a podcast and everybody on the same page is hard to line up.
Yeah, it is.
So eight people in a band with fucking horns and pianos and fucking drums and basses and guitars and a place to fucking practice. Like, how does that work? How do you guys do it and schedule? I know it's probably fucked up, but you know, like. That's what I was wondering. That's one of my biggest things is like, how do you guys get together and make it work and practice?
You asked if like, how does it work? It works sometimes, I guess.
I figured that.
You know, it's not really the size of the band really that's the problem. The problem is that I have like the band. Okay, when I set out the band, it was just me and my godson who had moved in with me at the time. He had just turned 18. And I said, you know, I've always wanted to do a traditional ska album. Can you help me out? And that's kind of a point about the Rock Band thing is that's how he started learning drums.
Right.
Is I had the Rock Band sound. We used to play every weekend. He'd be on drums. I'd be on guitar. And he started learning beats that way. So, right. I mean, it is a valid way.
But, it is. I agree. But I learned nothing, but other people had.
I don't know. The drum part is more realistic.
Yeah. Guitar doesn't
really translate a little bit. But drums, it's really kind of drums.
Yeah. So getting everybody together... is a little difficult only because I chose that when I did the band and I said, I'm going to do this for real, I'm going to try to make it the best I can. I wanted to surround myself with professional musicians. So I did, you know, I have people from Mento, some people from La Marcha, these like big bands here in town. And so that's the only issue. You know, a lot of them have gigs. A lot of them have, you know, George, our trumpet player, he does a lot of like jazz stuff. So does our piano player, Tony Rinaldi. He's an amazing jazz player, a jazz pianist. but we make it work, especially, you know, come showtime, we all get together and it's a beautiful thing when you get eight people in a room and everything's connecting, hitting on all cylinders. It's beautiful.
And especially if everybody's a professional musician and they all know their shit, then you don't need to get together and rehearse 8,000 times.
No.
You guys just, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, and you guys trust that you're good enough to pull it off.
Exactly. Now with having all these different instruments, do you guys actually write music, like actual real music form, or is it, you know, how do you guys go about that?
Well, actually, everything that you heard... I wrote like guitar,
nice.
Bass, drums.
And what do you horns. Play in the band?
I play guitar.
Okay.
My friend Joe, who's like one of my best friends, one of my oldest friends. I would basically, this is the writing process. It would be me on the couch playing PlayStation, and he'd be over there on the computer, and I'd be like, okay, you know, whatever, and he'd just take it down and make it beautiful, and that's how it originally was. And I would come up to the band and be like, hey guys, check this out. You know,
you're saying you just mouth guitar to him?
No, I mean like mouth horns, like and he'd just be like, okay, and he'd take that and make. I mean, it's not just me, but definitely like all the ideas started off with me, and then Joe made them beautiful, and then the band made it work.
So do you guys work from like? Do you actually like write the music down, or do you guys just kind of get it together?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, with horns. You know, like I said, we had a lot of professionals, so like people have gigs and stuff. So everything we have is charted out, like actual music. So anybody could come in and play it. But yeah, you know, mostly, you know, with ska and reggae, it's all about feel, you know, like with rap, like a lot of, you know, people just, if that beat's not banging, you know, if the flow isn't in the pocket, it's not gonna hit you, and people aren't gonna like it. You know what I mean? And so it's all about the groove. And once the groove's there and like the feel's there, like people like it. And that's what I've noticed. Like at our shows, it's not really material that people latch onto. It's the feel, you know, once they get the feeling, they're all about it. You know?
It's hard. What's hard is translating that feeling onto a record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like putting it on a song, like where they're just listening. So, but that's where great drummers like Ringo Starr, you know what I mean? You can feel, you know what I mean? You
I
can
hate feel the Ringo his. Hate.
Yeah, well, you can feel his. You can feel the passion that he had when he drummed, and there's other players too that are like that, and singers. You know, you feel the passion as opposed to other singers that might be dry or kind of boring. You know, like but in that record, they were there. So you know, putting it together like that makes sense, but it's hard. You know, it's really hard.
And Ringo also plays the best caveman in any film.
The best?
No idea.
You've never seen Caveman?
Uh-uh.
Holy shit!
That's a very
Ringo Starr's caveman.
Is that a nerd version? Nerd version?
Oh, it might. It doesn't really have a following, but it's fucking something.
I have a question. Do you actually read music?
No, not too much. I know like basic. Stuff I used to play tabs definitely, of course, but I blame my middle school band teacher, because I played trumpet and he didn't teach us notes. He just
that's crazy.
He was like, hold this and blow at this. You got it.
Yeah, but you can't just over it. You can't blame him though, because you can still learn,
you know I think
mean?
It's like,
but you don't need to now.
Can I Well, actually, he said that if we learned the notes, he'd hurt my family.
He mouth horns. He just mouth horns to another guy.
He's a womp womp.
And then that guy's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, dude.
I think that sometimes it might be like an advantage to not read music.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like for example, I took a film class one time at BC, and I felt like it took away from movies, because I was like, oh, God, I'm analyzing this shit, like, mathematically now.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that's where the lighting is, and they're using this musical score to try to invoke this feeling or something, and you start overthinking shit.
Yeah.
Like, my buddy's girlfriend plays piano, and she would read music, and, like, there was sheet music up there, and she'd sit down, and she could just bang it out, and then I went over to the piano and I just start playing something. As long as I stay on the white keys and in C, it sounds like a theme from Braveheart or something. You know, I'm just playing some shit. And she's like, "Oh, what's that? Like, I don't. What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm just kind of making that up. I don't know." And she couldn't do that.
She couldn't pick it up. Yeah,
hey, she could play anything with music in front of her.
And don't they have? That's like some people. If you move around the keys on a keyboard, they can't fucking type anymore. You know, I mean, you could type all day long. You move around the keys and they can't type.
I can't type for shit. I run a computer shop. I type more than anyone in the world. Like, I play guitar. I can play piano. I cannot fucking type. For shit.
Well, no, I was going to ask, don't they have an app to where you can probably just play just makes the music for you?
Well, I mean, like I teach music during the day. I mean, you know, but I teach music during the day at a school. So I just, you know, when I started teaching, I wanted to make sure I was giving them practical knowledge.
Right.
Right.
You know, because if I went to a guitar teacher, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of amazing guitar teachers who get people far greater places than I could. But what I want to give them is I want to get them excited about music. So I teach them some chords, and once they see that these chords make songs and stuff, they get excited. They want to play. And pretty much.
That's so do you just teach guitar, or do you teach them some other stuff too? Or?
Guitar, bass, and drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the basics.
Yeah, basically. Well, because I used to work at Washington and I had like rock bands. Like I had an actual band of kids that could play music together.
Right.
Unfortunately, that was a lot of like Maroon 5 and stuff. But, but it was really cool.
Your
because
favorite type of music. You were just telling us that before the show.
Oh, yeah. I know. Because I'm.
Why are you wearing that Maroon
Adam
5
Levine
shirt?
Adam Levine is dreaming. Yeah,
that is a Maroon 5 shirt. Holy shit.
Yeah, totally.
Your band's, they're going to hear this and be like, what the fuck?
Oh, fuck that guy.
It was just the only shirt he could find in that size.
I'm going on a podcast. We got to promo our band. Like, yeah, we sound just like Maroon 5. We're fucking awesome.
And then there was
actually that might help. Come see Rhythm Ambassadors. We're we're basically at
Adam Levine
Maroon
sings
5,
for us.
But hefty. I'm like if Adam Levine let himself go severely. Like, just way, just like beyond intervention.
Adam Levine in 30 years, he just doesn't give a fuck anymore. Give me that fucking cheeseburger.
He's all, I fucking hate falsetto.
Do you think there's a certain point where it's too late for someone to actually become a good musician?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think that at all, dude. Especially like my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad never plays anything. But I'll just be at my dad's house and he'll be playing harmonica. He just bought a harmonica because, hey, we're Mexican. And so he bought a harmonica and like he's playing like good melodies like on this harmonica. And I'm like, Pops, how long have you been playing? He's like, I don't know. I've had this thing for like 2 or 3 days.
Wow.
That's crazy. Just,
yeah, some people have a knack for it. There was like a study done that if you start before the age of 12, a part of your brain develops differently.
Yeah, some people just have it naturally too. Yeah. Some people can just pick up and...
No, I think that's definitely the case. And because I looked at a lot of that stuff like before the show, like there's a lot of studies out there say that if you study music at a, you know, before a certain age, it actually starts to form certain neural bonds in your brain, and it makes you better with language. It makes you better with oral communication because you can listen to things and process them quicker. It lets different portions of your brain communicate more quickly. And I looked at a lot of stuff, and it was kind of crazy because they were talking about the fact that in lower income houses that had a high arts background, those kids, when they got older, were 3 times as likely to get a bachelor's degree.
Yep.
And in the same exact households where the music or the arts were cut, they were 5 times more likely to not graduate from high school just from cutting the arts music. And cutting music and cutting that. Because everybody, our whole culture just focuses on science and math and biology and chemistry and that's and finance and money. And that's what's of value. And I teach English, I study literature. I mean, I suck at music, but I love it and I find it to be very valuable. And every time I hear about things like this getting cut because people don't think it's valuable, I think it's immeasurably valuable.
Yeah.
One, and you look at kids programming and there's a lot of songs in cartoons and things like that because that's what gets their brain going. That's what gets them thinking and rhythm and everything else, you know, it comes along with it. So
yeah, like if you put a music in front of a baby, like at the they can't even walk yet, and they will bounce and move and create. There's some instinctual thing programmed into us for sure. Have you guys seen the Landfill Harmonic?
No,
it's fucking rad, dude. Like you guys
sounds like shit.
No, so there's some like underprivileged, super low economic group of people in some country. I don't even know where it's at right now, but if you YouTube it, it's really cool. It's all these kids that can't afford instruments, so they had to make do, and they have like cellos and shit made out of like a half of a 50-gallon drum and a pipe.
Wow. Oh, I have seen that.
It's amazing. If you had no idea that it was like garbage instruments, like they it sounds like an orchestra, but then they show it on the video and it's stuff out of the garbage. It's fucking crazy. It's like a gas can.
It's like an arrowhead. It's like an arrowhead
drum and stuff.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
I've just seen the video of all the kids playing Crazy Train. With the ding 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 ding,
I haven't seen that.
Or the vibes, or the
whatever they are, the vibraphones. Yeah. And I was like, man, that's freaking crazy. They do a good job.
There's actually another Rock Band video game reference. One of the reasons I got into it a lot is because one of my favorite musicians is Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, they had the hand of beats,
and he released a ton of stuff on. Rock Band. He was like way into Rock Band, and he released more Rock Band songs than anybody else. And at one point, the early Rock Band 1 and Rock Band 2, there were a lot of nobodies that played on the game. Like after that, it got really big, and it was only big name people. But that was even how Coheed and Cambria got big, is because they were on Rock Band.
I remember that.
But some band that was sort of like I don't even remember what they were called, but the drummer. Was like they had a song in Rock Band, so Trent Reznor reached out to the guy and said, I'd like you to audition because I'm doing a new album and I'd like you to do it. So he told him that he wanted to, like, Trent's people called this guy and said, yeah, Trent Reznor wants you to come to LA, come to his house and audition for him. So he showed up, like there was this whole article this guy wrote. He said he was tripping because he shows up at Trent Reznor's house and like all the members of Nine Inch Nails are playing Rock Band, and the first part of his audition was he had to play Rock Band with Nine Inch Nails and prove he could play it. Which I don't know.
Oh, snap.
But then the second thing is, as soon as he was able to drum on Expert and show that he knew what he was doing, Trent Reznor gave him a credit card and said, go to Home Depot. You've got 4 hours to build a drum kit and we're going to record some shit. That's and the guy just cool. had to go to Home Depot and build a fucking drum kit.
Grab the buckets.
Out of PVC and buckets and came back and it's like in his album, he just fucking recorded it. I'm like, that's crazy.
I was listening to Trent Reznor came on the other day and I thought to myself, like, how the fuck did this guy make it? Like, I hate Nine Inch Nails. Like,
I love it. It's my favorite. Horrible. It's off. It's awesome.
It's the worst.
Awesome.
I am not myself a huge fan of my Nine Inch Nails. I do like some jams. A Hand That Feeds is a great jam.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what I really like about him though is Trent Reznor is that he recorded that whole album on GarageBand.
Right.
He didn't add anything. He didn't spend any money. Yeah. Production value. That was it. GarageBand. And I mean that had to have sold what? A good 500,000 copies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At least, at the very least. And
it was I think every single album he drops goes platinum on rock and on alternative.
Right. So, like I'm saying, like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That, you know, that I can go and record GarageBand and fail miserably, but, you know, he can.
Well, he already has a following.
True.
It's just like anything, like podcasting. And we went in and myself and Dave, and I don't know if Brent has or not, but we started listening to other podcasts because, as everyone might know, we don't listen to podcasts. We started a fucking podcast and we don't listen to podcasts. Right. So I started listening to podcasts and we all were like, these podcasts fucking suck. Like, how do they have 100,000 listens and how do they have all these fans? But a lot of them are already famous. A lot of them have already done other things, and they're getting big people on their shows.
But then a lot of them get big. And I think no matter what your art is, I mean, as a writer, I can go to Barnes & Noble, and most of the – especially in science fiction, which is what I read and what I write, most of the science fiction books that I pick up, I read it, and I'm like, this is a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
This is so bad. And I'm not saying I'm better than that guy,
but
I can read it and be like, that's a piece of shit.
How did that
get
it?
Published? Yeah. And it's got to be the same way with music. I can't imagine being
– Yeah, music's the same way. I think everything's the same. Like, I can listen to stuff and be like, man, if I can honestly say, like, that was horrible, and I can do something better than that. Fuck. I mean, it's all about being in the right place at the right time.
No, I agree.
But you know what, though? Somebody who's shitty at something can put so much effort into the promotion and getting it out there that 100,000 people are going to like it. You know what I mean? Because they like shitty stuff. And that's enough. If your band only has 10,000 followers and they got 100,000, who's fucking bigger? Even though they suck 500 times worse than you do.
Look at like country music. Like half the fucking shit on the radio shouldn't be on the radio. It's just cookie cutter garbage. All of it.
Look at hip hop. Look at rock. I mean, it's the same for every genre. It is garbage.
It's horrible. Yeah,
it is bad.
I went on Ultimate Guitar to get some tabs earlier, and there was a story about the dude from Puddle of Mud. And I'm like, who gives a fuck about this guy? Like, he hasn't done anything of importance in, like, what, 10 years? And this guy's still news. But like you said, that band probably still has...
If you get it out there, they still have a following.
Yeah,
you've still got a following.
Yeah.
Everybody in the world
Trent Reznor still sounds the fucking same, and
everybody hates Nickelback more than fucking anything in the world.
Yeah, but they're huge.
Somehow they're fucking huge, but everybody hates them.
Yeah, if you say, do you like Nickelback? And they're like, fuck Nickelback, fucking... But yet they have a fan base, and they're on the radio, you know?
Totally.
And on the other side, I wonder if you guys think this is the same for music. My brother worked for a producer for a subsidiary of Sony, and he was always looking for screenplays and so forth. And I met with him. I was fairly good friends with him. My brother was really good friends with him. But a couple of times I talked to him, and his operating theory in Hollywood, and he had dozens of stories about this. When it came to writing a script, he said, if you write a script that's good enough to be turned into a movie, it's gonna be turned into a movie.
Yeah.
Like that was hit. Like, you've written a script that's like, oh shit, that's a fucking great script. If you are persistent, it's gonna turn into a movie because most of what's in Hollywood
is dog shit. You stop at what somebody, the first person that says no, and then
if you stop, then you're done. I mean, do you think it's the same with music? I mean, if you're good enough, are you eventually going to become a good, are you gonna become a hit, or do you think something can stop you?
Comedians, I mean, same way. They get paid shit for
how long
until they get discovered.
The difference between comedians and musicians, comedians can still be fucking ugly. Musicians have to be pretty now. Like, there's no Phil Collins anymore. There's not some fucking dude that looks like Phil Collins. I'm not trying to... Hey, you're a beautiful man, okay? I'm just saying, you don't see Phil Collins jumping out anymore. Like,
He's like, thanks for the interview.
Samoan chic. you know, basically, I forgot what we were talking about.
You pissed him off.
Well, I think that's
in the Pacific Islands.
I think specifically in like pop and in rock, it's if you don't look really good, you're not gonna like. I think it's different though. I think there's a good looking factor and there's a talented musician.
Example, like Danzig or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like
that was still before though. I'm saying now, like no one knew.
I know, but I'm saying though, like I think that there's ugly people. Look at rappers. We were just talking about Action Bronson. He's a fat white dude.
Yeah.
And he's probably got chicks that would just fuck him.
He looks grody too.
He don't give a fuck. Like, no. You know, I think that's the way. I think at any level, if you're good enough and you get there, no matter how you look, you'll be there.
There's that stupid all about that bass chick. I fucking hate that chick.
Well, I think it also has a lot to do with like, what are you doing, man? You know, because I know a lot of musicians who are amazing, amazing musicians, way better guitarists than me, way better songwriters than me, but just...
They're not doing nothing.
No, they don't have the drive. They don't, you know, they're not doing stuff, which sucks.
Because that's part of what I said is if you keep persistent and keep pushing it, you'll get there. Like, it's the same with anything. If we stop doing podcasts today, we'll never make it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And what is making it? Only we can decide that, you know? So that's same thing with the band. You know, they have to keep pushing it and pushing it. If they're happy with the 300 local listeners they have, then they're happy. If they're not, then they're going to keep pushing and driving, you know, if you can keep that up because it's fucking hard. You know what I mean? It's hard to go out there and do it when you don't want to do it.
Do you guys tour at all, or is it just Bakersfield? No,
I mean, we've only been out. Our first show was in May.
Oh, nice.
So right now we're like working on recording. After that, I want to go down up and down the coast, especially LA. LA is a big area for sure. Traditional ska.
Oh,
You know what's something good to be said is like YouTube for musicians. You know, like if you can't tour, you could fucking just blow up on YouTube.
You'd be all over the world. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, one video.
Yep.
You know what's crazy is that I went from coming home and watching the news, and now I get home, turn on YouTube, and watch my feed.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, I'm watching podcasts. I'm watching news. You know, IGN.
Video, songs. You know? Yeah, everything. Yeah. And that's something to be said. I mean, and that's where you get into, you know, how do you get it out there? I think we look at this issue with the podcast, you know, how do we get it out there?
Right.
Music's no different, you know, so you're local, you're contained, you know, you do shows here in town. And obviously we have some live video, live shows from you guys, and we'll post those up on Facebook and whatnot. You know, how do you break that? You know, what's your guys' plan on breaking the barrier? You know, you guys are going to try and push out a little bit, I assume.
Yeah, well, see, that's the plan. I'd like, first of all, to get a good album, because that's how this whole thing started. I said, I'm about to turn 30, I'm 29, and I've never made, like, a whole album. You know, I've been in successful bands, I've been in Vanity Avenue, and we've come out with EPs and stuff, but I've always wanted to have, like, a whole album that I can say, this is Ray, you know, like, Ray had a big part of this. So that's what's hopefully going to happen soon is... We're going to start recording in little batches, hopefully do like 5 songs and another 5 songs and a couple songs. But what I'd like to do is, you know, tour up and down the coast. Hopefully, you know, if we get enough recognition and if we push hard enough, I'd like to do like a, you know, at least a tour across the U.S.
Oh, that'd be dope.
But but I definitely don't want to just, you know, stay and play bars and stuff. I definitely want to do more than that because I put in a lot of work and, you know, you're not just going to get your kid ready for school and just, you know. Sit them on the couch.
Take them to school.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
I mean, you gotta put forth the effort. You know, you gotta take it out there. So
that's the hard part.
Fingers crossed, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the hard part. Well, and that's why I invited you on. You know, because you guys deserve that. I thought, and that was one of the biggest things. I saw on Facebook, and I've been friends with you for a while, and I saw on Facebook that like you're putting together a band, you're doing some stuff, and then I was like, holy fuck, there's like 20 of them in the room.
Holy shit!
Like, how are they doing that? Like. God, that's like hard for a couple people. Have the 60 people in your band. Like, I mean, 100 people in an apartment. What's it like practicing like that?
We practice in an apartment in Oildale.
Really?
The top apartment. I live in an apartment in Oildale.
What street?
El Tajon.
Oh man, that's Oildale for sure. That's
yeah.
Real.
No, well, see, what's weird about my house is like in front of us, it's like residential area, like nice, and then in back of us is like. All hell broke loose, like just horrible
the
garbage.
Apocalypse.
Garbage people doing garbage things.
By standard elementary, it's right around there. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Not exactly. Standard.
If you don't live here, then you don't know what we're talking about. But just picture the worst place in your town.
Just look at
just think of water trash.
No, yeah. And just, you know, and people walking around, like the women are so skinny that the smallest clothes don't fit on them. Yeah. Like, you know, meth heads. We talked about meth in an episode. Like that's what's happening.
You know
everybody
you guys
has
got any meth? Or
everybody has a shopping cart there.
Yeah. You clearly don't do meth. You know how you're going to be? I know you're going to be famous.
How?
Because you got the VH1 Behind the Music story right now. You're like living in an apartment in the fucking ghetto.
Oh, that's true.
Tweakers all around, the hardship. Dad's playing the harmonica in the front room. There's fucking a bunch of people.
I'm going to have to call my girl, say I'm going to do some coke off her ass or something.
Yeah, because you got
to start getting weird with it.
You got to have those ups and downs to be in that show. So start working on ups
you're
and downs.
Rock bottom, you can only go up from there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, that's the way it works. So
it's a tricky line to walk, though, because when you hit that rock bottom as a musician, you either die.
Or go to jail,
or you come back as like a big huge hit. Yeah, so you have to make sure you don't die at that rock bottom, and you come back as a hit.
That's the tough one,
because you'll be a hit afterwards either way. Like even if you die, your music will still sell. So you just need to make sure you're on the living.
So this is going out tomorrow. Do you guys have any upcoming shows, or are you guys strictly?
No, actually, we're working on the album. We're going to be booking some shows. I actually just got in contact with my buddy from Rare Breed, so we're going to be doing that. But mostly recording. I really want to do that because, you know, once you play a couple shows, it's really easy to just go and play more shows and just play shows. But I really want to do things a little different. I want to make sure that, you know, we have merchandise, we have CDs, something tangible that people can hold on to.
Right.
Because, you know, a big part of the band, the reason why we have so many members and stuff, is because I wanted to do something different. I wanted it to be different than any band in town. You came and saw us and it was weird, you know?
Right.
And that's how it's been. You know, we've played shows and some people are really into it and some people are confused. They'll look at us like, okay, there wasn't any singing in that song.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's an all music ensemble.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's no vocals.
Well,
no.
Yeah, there is vocals. But
sometimes,
In ska, they have like, you know, ska instrumentals, which is just, you know, horn line and then some solos, and that's
right.
It's really expressive. That's what I like about the music. Every time you see us, it's going to be different. The solos are not written out. The solos are always done impromptu. So it's just, you know, it's kind of to show musicianship and also, you know, knowledge of the genre, knowledge of the feel, you know. I mean you've been in a ska band. I mean,
yeah, we had three songs and one of them started with the Super Mario song. Mm. Like, it didn't make it that far. We got kicked out of that hangar.
You know what's funny is that me and my buddy Chris, who plays drums in Rhythm Ambassadors, we used to have like a band called Fuzzy Pink Slip-Ons, old school. Fuzzy Pink Slip-Ons, we used to play Mario.
The horn section started with Mario. And
I don't think you could do music and not play Mario.
No, dude.
After that.
Everybody knows some sort of riff from Mario.
Yeah, so that's cool. So what's some places they can the listeners can take a listen to your music, your Facebook? I don't know if you have a website.
Yeah, we do have a Facebook. We do have an Instagram.
So shout out your.
We have a Tinder and a Grindr.
Ooh.
Yeah, both, because we don't discriminate. As soon as the EP gets recorded, that's going to be on SoundCloud, of course, and iTunes. We're going to be doing that. But mostly, check out the videos on the page. We got our buddy Robert Behill. I'm going to try to get him in here.
Yeah.
But Robert Behill, he's a great photographer, and he, you know, I paid the money to have him come out and record us.
Yeah, Ray mentioned you, Robert, and he said you give out free blowjobs.
Yes. He does. He's great at it.
I said, get
him
in here, stat.
That's the way to get him in here.
I'm sorry, Rob.
If it's the other way, Brent loves to give.
I'll take one for the team. I got to do what I got to do.
See?
If we don't try, we will never make it. Want.
That's right.
You know.
Facebook.com/rhythmambassadors, and it's spelled how it sounds, Rhythm Ambassador.
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 Trust me, the rhythm's gonna be the hard part. Dave's looking at me shit all the time.
Fucking literature, fucking nerd.
Oh, I know. My spelling is for shit, but when you're on the computer, it doesn't matter. However you spell it, Google is smart enough to say, "Hey, dumbass, did you mean rhythm ambassadors?"
Yes.
And you're like, "Yes, I
Google,
did."
I found some of your
regional stuff on Vimeo.
Yeah, regional here at Bakersfield.
Spelling Bee Champ. Damn,
Jesus, yeah.
You made it already. You can quit now.
I even remember the word I lost on.
What was it?
It's gonna be on my fucking tombstone.
Use it in a sentence.
Bantam. I don't even know what it
Bantam.
Means.
Bantam.
It's Bantam.
Yeah.
I'm all, what the? Idea. Well, let's just say I didn't get the A. All right. I was like Bantam.
Tom. Bantam.
Yeah, let's just say I failed miserably.
Can you spell Batman?
B A T man? M-A-N? I'm horrible, man.
All right. We have sponsor shout outs. BakoSkateCo.com. Is that the website? Bakersfield Skate Company.
Hit them on Facebook.
Is that fucking sad that I don't know the sponsor's website?
BakersfieldSkateCompany.com.
You find them on Facebook, Bako Skate Co. Digital Creations.
Red Ridge Beard Company.
The one right across the street?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're awesome. So if you're a skateboarder or your kid's a skateboarder, you can buy stuff from them and put some wheels under their board.
And if your kid is a skateboarder with a beard, then you can
get them the Red Ridge Beard Company.
And if you have a really cute picture of your kid on a skateboard with a beard, you can get that on a mug or a blanket at Digital Creations.
See how we did that? That was fucking masterful.
That was masterful. And then if you have a beard,
it's called Segways. Segways.
That's right.
We're not segwaying in anything, Ray. We're the podcasters here, not you. Okay. You stick to your fucking band.
Sorry, man.
He's talking about mall
cops. I'll stick
to
what I'm good with.
So Bako Skate Co., Bakersfield Skate Company, Red Ridge Beard Company, and then
Digital
Creations. Those are our sponsors, and they help us out with the swag that actually we'll give Ray something while he's here for being on the show.
Can I plug my mixtape?
Yeah, plug your mixtape. What is it? Big Booty Hose?
No, actually, Hood as Fuck Volume 1. I got all sorts of bangers on there. I got Put Them Titties on the Glass. I have Your Mom's Chilaquiles. That's a good one. Just make sure to pick it up. I go by Ray Squared or Big Juicy. So just check that shit out.
Yeah, digitalcrates.com. It's there.
Get money.
All right. Anybody else have any questions? Are we good?
I'm good.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show.
It was fun.
It was a blast. And you know, these shows the last few weeks have been an hour, and we've been splitting them up, and it's been kind of weird. So to the listeners who know our stuff, you know, we're normally an hour and a half or so, but everybody's been so busy going on vacations. Brent actually got out of his hermit shell and went on vacation, and Dave went out of town, out of state twice, and I've been doing shit. So it's been crazy, but hopefully you guys are still listening, and, you know, don't be a retard.